The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dr. Rab, what you got, baby? Monday through Friday, 7 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It is Dark Side of the Pooch. You hear right here, first runs on TKR and Tony Curry Radio. Download that TKR app, like the tens of thousands of folks have already done it. And, of course, you can also go to Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Search Tony Curry Radio Podcast, Google it, and you'll see Audio Boom. Click on it, look for Dark Side of the Pooch, and you'll get our show right here. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World. I was down at Ed's Pet World just the last couple days ago. Love that place. It is now pets and toys, Dr. Rab. It's unbelievable. Exotic pets. They have rabbits down there. They got caiman alligators. They got a cockatoo they just got, which is incredible. I actually posted a video of that cockatoo sitting on my shoulder. They have ferrets. They have rabbits. Any exotic animal. Plenty of fish down there. And, of course, Seth travels the United States of America. And then some, looking for great toys, vintage toys, collectibles, Star Wars stuff, Battlestar Galactica stuff still in the box. It's unbelievable. Check it out and go check out Ed's Pet World, in the business now for over 50 years. Pretty crazy. What's the craziest exotic pet you've ever been around? I know you you treated a giraffe once, but what's another exotic pet you've been around that you really liked?
Let me see. What is the wildest and the craziest?
Yes.
Tarantulas. Tarantulas are kind of wild and crazy.
You've been around tarantulas?
I've been around a couple of those bad boys.
They've got
boys and girls.
They've got
females too. They got female tarantulas.
They do. All right, we got a lot to get into today. We got some emails, info@tonycurryradio.net. Send your emails. We got some very interesting personal questions for Dr. Rab that we'll get into today. But I wanted to read this story I just saw came out yesterday. Pit bull owners in Keystone were given just days over the holiday weekend to remove their dogs or risk fines and having their pets taken away. A handful of families received written notices on Friday from the city of Keystone that their pet dog violated the city's ban on pit bulls and similar breeds. The notice gives families 3 days going into Labor Day weekend to remove the dog, or the city of Keystone will take such steps necessary to remove said animal. We've talked about pit bulls a lot on this show, and I know your thoughts on it. I wanted to get your thoughts again. What's a similar breed? When they say similar breeds to pit bulls, what are they talking about?
They probably just mean any dog that has pit bull in it.
Okay.
Because you know, maybe they think you can get by with saying, oh, well, you know, this isn't a pit bull. This is a lab mix.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I think the ban is very ridiculous.
Okay,
but, you know,
so talk about that, because we've talked about breeds of animals and we've had people ask you what's the best breed to have. I know that pit bulls have been given a bad rap, but it does seem like it's the sinkhole mentality, right? As soon as you hear about a sinkhole, it seems like there's sinkholes everywhere. When you hear about a pit bull attack, all of a sudden it seems like there's pit bulls attacking everything. But you said on the show, there's nothing about that breed. There's nothing that is pre-formulated, if you will, in its genetics to be a mean dog, correct?
Yeah. You know, in my neck of the woods, you know the breed of dog that's causing the most trouble right now?
What's that?
A Great Dane.
Really?
It's attacking dogs, attacking people. So, I mean, it's not a pit bull, and you'll never see any town or, you know, any region put a ban on a Great Dane.
True.
And there's pit bulls all over where we are, you know? So it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like Jaws, you know? It's like Jaws, where we got to slaughter all the great whites now. They're bad. Got to kill them.
So I guess if you wanted to have an attack dog or a defense dog, a dog that's going to protect your family, what would be the best breed to get for something like that? The pit bull obviously is a muscular animal. It's got the look. If you wanted to teach a dog to be a fighting dog, then I would guess that the pit bull would be one of the best breeds to do that, just because of its look and it's just a thick dog, correct?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've been bit by more Chihuahuas than I have pit bulls.
No doubt.
I guess I'd rather have a Chihuahua guard my front door.
I've had problems with Dachshunds my entire life. Dachshunds do not like me. I don't know what it is, but wiener dogs, man, they are snippy little animals.
It's the nose, man. It's the nose.
You're saying my nose?
You guys, it's you guys have similar noses. They're jealous of your nose.
Well, I'm jealous of their nose too. I got news for you. There are some days where I wish I could be a dog and just sit around and get my belly rubbed for sure. Dark Side of the Pooch, Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on, of course, a Facebook, and you can check them out at their Rossbridge 208-0301, 208-0301. You want to do some mutt mail?
Oh yeah.
All right, Tom in Sheboygan says, is there such thing as a dog behavioralist? And if there is, why in the hell do you need a behavioralist for your dog?
Yeah, a behaviorist is just like it's another board certification. So, you know, there's veterinary surgeons and dermatologists and oncologists and internal medicine, you know, all, you know, just, there's a lot of specialties just like in people. So a behaviorist is like a dog psychiatrist. Okay. And they come in very handy, very handy when you have a dog that has a behavioral problem. Like in a, you know, we're talking about pit bulls and get, you know, banned and bit and all that stuff. So a behaviorist can help out in these situations where a dog might be aggressive and, you know, it's hurting people in the home or outside the home, or a dog that's really fearful and is tearing up the house to a point where it's also hurting itself when the owners go out of town. So I think that they are very helpful in helping with those situations. And there's probably situations that they help out with that I don't even know about.
Yeah. Okay. So what causes an animal? And I'm assuming this is early on, correct? You don't want to, the old dog, new trick kind of thing, but you want to catch this early. What causes an animal to be incredibly fearful or incredibly destructive?
I think the problem is this kind of stuff is not caught early. And so these dogs that go see a behaviorist are probably older, you know, maybe 2 and 3 years old. And they're the main reason is they're probably not being well socialized when they're very young, because socialization needs to happen very, very early in a pet's life. You know, within the first 6 to 12 weeks, it's really important. And these pets that don't get socialization with people and with other dogs or cats or both, then they're going to have their tendencies to be aggressive towards people and other pets, or fearful of certain situations or pets, goes up tremendously. And it's, some people think it's cute to have a little dog or cat that bites when they're 8 weeks old and they can't cause any problems.
Yeah.
But when you have a, you know, a 12-pound dog that can't really cause a lot of trouble when it bites you when it's 8 weeks old, when it's, you know, 60 pounds and it's 9 months old, you know, and somebody's kid gets bit at their house, you know, that's a problem. And so, you know, those things, people think they're cute when they're young. Oh, you know, laughing. Oh, it's so, you know, that's funny. It's not, 'cause it's going to turn into a problem.
What do you, as a veterinarian, and you're the best, what do you say to a family or an owner of an animal that has bitten a child to the point where it needs stitches? And I know a lot of people say, you know, if that dog ever gets our children, we're going to have to get rid of it. Is it worth to get a behavioralist to keep that animal, or is it best just to separate it from the family dynamic it's in it?
It depends on what the owner's comfort level is, because, you know, I have a hard time leaving people in danger.
Yeah.
If, you know, if you have a dog that's biting somebody at home, you know, if I were to say, just take it to a behaviorist and everything would be fine, you know, that may not be very good advice. It might be terrible advice. The dog might end up hurting somebody in the family or somebody, you know, outside the family. So we try to, you know, educate them and tell them that there are no guarantees. And if you want to do everything that you can, then here are the steps we could take. But you also have to understand that during this process, there's still a possibility that someone could get hurt. And it really just depends on what the owner's comfort level is. And I would say how attached to the animal they are.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask this question because I know I'm going to get it here. What's the difference between a behavioralist and a trainer, just a dog trainer?
A dog trainer okay, let me do it the other way. A veterinary behaviorist is a veterinarian. They they went to undergraduate school, they have a degree, they went to veterinary school, they have a doctor of veterinary medicine, and then they did a residency in behaviorism. Mm-hmm. So they have tons of qualifications, and they have tons of clinical experience. And a dog trainer can be self-taught. I mean, you and I could be a dog trainer, and I'm sure there are certifications that you can do to help with the craft. But I mean, it's not something that has the type of medical training that a behaviorist would have.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, there you have it. He is Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 205-208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet. Rossbridge Animal Hospital, of course, on Facebook. You hear the show live every Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock right here on Dark Side of the Pooch and TKR. And, of course, you can hear us wherever you get your favorite podcast. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. You got email questions. Brad in Birmingham has got himself a puppy, and it's biting like most dogs do. They have their little teeth coming in, and it probably feels good to bite onto some things. He said, is it a good deterrent to make the dog bite itself to keep it from biting other people? He said sometimes he sticks its dog's tail in its mouth. Maybe if it's trying to bite him, he'll push in the inside of the mouth so it'll bite the inside of its mouth. Does that work?
I've done the mouth trick a good bit. So I would say yes on that, because that's the way I've trained my puppies. Mm-hmm. So yes, 100% yes.
Okay. Julie in Blue Ash, Ohio, up my neck of the woods, wants to know what Dr. Rab's favorite crossbreeds are. Like a labradoodle. What's your favorite crossbreed? And she wants to know, can you crossbreed any animal? You mentioned, can you crossbreed a Great Dane with a Dachshund?
I love labradoodles and any type of doodle, because there's a lot of them and we see a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just a breed that we see a lot of. And I think that breed has increased dog ownership. So I love those dogs. I love the look of them. I love that we can take care of them, and we see a lot of them. So, I love those dogs. I think that, when it comes to breeding dogs, you have to factor in the size of the male and the female. You can cross a lot of dogs. You can breed a lot of dogs together that, will make something interesting. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have a variation in size between the breeds. Mm-hmm. You need to be sure that the female is the big one, because that will cut down on dystocias, meaning a puppy that gets stuck in the birth canal. So wow. if the mom is the big one between the two, then the chances of that happening are less. So if you're gonna breed a Great Dane and a Dachshund, you want the female to be the Great Dane, and
outside the dog laying on the couch. I'm not sure how you'd do that. You'd have to hold the Dachshund up, right. But I guess it's possible, right?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So strategically, they can't exactly, a Dachshund can't get up that high. So you'll have to do some artificial inseminating, usually for that to happen, which, that's what veterinarians are for. And that brings me to another specialty, theriogenology. That's the specialty of reproduction health. So theriogenology would be like a doggy OBGYN.
Yeah. What's the craziest mixed breed you've seen? I mean, have you ever seen a Dachshund and a Great Dane?
No, I mean, not that I know of. I get probably the funniest looking one that I can think of off the top of my head is anything like if you have a tall dog and you mix it with a corgi. So like one time I saw a lab corgi mix. Yeah. And so what that looked like was it looked just like a lab, except it had really short legs.
Yeah.
And so it looked like a lab that just got, like Mr. Potato Head legs taken off and switched around.
So how do we come up with miniature animals, like miniature schnauzers? It seems like there's miniature everything now. Oh, how's that happen?
By taking just small dogs of the current breed.
Yeah.
So the way that miniature poodles started is they took small poodles, standard poodles, because the standard poodle was first.
Yeah.
So they took the standard and they took two small ones and they bred them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just slowly over time shrink them down.
That's crazy. Jan in Dayton, Ohio wants to know, are cancer sniffing dogs for real? And if they are, what else can dogs sniff?
As far as I know, that they're training them to sniff out cancer.
Yeah.
And I think that it's legitimate. But you know, other than that, you know, of course, drugs and weapons and seizures. They, you know, a dog can tell if a person's about to have a seizure. And I've even heard dogs being able to tell what a person's blood sugar is.
Wow.
On a diabetic person or somebody that, you know, is prone to having too high or too low blood glucose. I've heard that dogs can sense that. So now, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily a smell thing. I mean, a lot of these things are that we're talking about, but you know, I don't know if cancer has a smell to it. You know, maybe it does, but maybe they just have some other way of sensing it. You know, people say all the time that they swear that their one dog knows that their other dog is going to, you know, die soon. Yeah. So,
yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense whenever you're trying to find a body, unfortunately, and you take the smell of someone's body from a shirt or whatever, and if you've got the dog that knows how to do that, I guess the big question is it trained to do that? It smells it and go out and find the body, which is kind of crazy. All right, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Missy in Norfolk, Virginia wants to know, has a dog movie ever made Dr. Rab cry?
I don't think so. I would have to spend some time thinking about that. But off the top of my head, I don't think so, unless it was when I was like a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Old
Yeller?
I've never seen Old Yeller.
You know what? I haven't either. I've never seen it. I know a lot of people are like, what? So you're not drawn to dog movies because you're a veterinarian. A lot of things people think that veterinary, like if you're an airplane pilot, everyone thinks you've seen every airplane crash movie, right? So you're a veterinarian, so you don't really get into dog movies that much.
I really don't. And my fate, I love thrillers and suspense and horror. So, you know, the only movie that really fits into that category that has to do with dogs is Cujo. And that certainly didn't make me cry.
Well, they just came out with the top 10 dog movies of all time. You want to take a stab at any of these?
Oh, top 10.
Cujo's not in there.
What?
Cujo's not in there.
Old Yeller's got to be in there. This is just dog movies?
Yeah, movies about dogs. Old Yeller's number 7.
What about Pets? Secret Life of Pets? Does that qualify?
That's not in.
What about that new one, Dog?
Dog's too new. Benji's number 10, Lassie's number 9, Lady and the Tramp, which is a personal favorite. You know the rest of that name of the restaurant that the Lady and the Tramp had, the meatball, where he nudged the meatball across the table? You know what that name of that restaurant was?
What was it?
It was Anthony's.
Oh, yeah.
Old Yeller, number 7, Finding Rin Tin Tin, number 6, Hachi, A Dog's Tale, number 5, 8 Below, number 4, it's about Alaskan Husky dogs, Isle of Dogs, number 3, 101 Dalmatians, number 2, and Marley and Me is the number 1 dog movie of all time, they say.
And no Turner and Hooch. That's ridiculous. You got a Turner and Hooch in there.
All right, if we didn't get to your email, keep them coming. We'll get into them again next week here on Dark Side of the Pooch. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. For gosh sakes, if you're looking for a veterinarian or even if you got one, go find Dr. Rab. He's the best at the Rossburg Animal Hospital. It is 205-208-0301. 208-0301. He's the best. I take all my dogs there. I'm going to be taking in Frisco next week to get his shots and everything else that he needs to get, and I'm going to get him shaved down. It's going to be great. Of course, they also will board your animals as well. Make sure you call them ahead of time. Rossburg Vet at Rossburg Vet on Twitter and the Rossburg Animal Hospital on Facebook as well. And we could not do it without our fine friends at Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for almost 50 years down there in Homewood. I go down there at least once a week. I go down there just to clear my head, man. I mean, just to see all the wonderful animals. They have a brand new cockatoo that I posted a video on. They have everything from water turtles, they have fish, they have tarantulas, they have alligators. They got so many exotic pets. The kids absolutely love it. Their prices are fantastic. And if you're looking for toys, it's about 50-50 now. Seth goes all over the country. He'll get you that vintage toy that you've been looking for still in the box. He goes all over the world looking for these things, and he's killing it big time. So if you're looking for those vintage toys or collectibles, or if you found some in the attic you want to buy, sell, or trade, check out Ed's Pet World. They're great. Dr. Rab, we're out of time. Thank you so much, my friend, and we'll catch up next week.
Sounds great, man. Talk to you then.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.